Support for WPR comes from Present Music, performing honest music with guest violist and curator Nadia Sirota, May 9th at 8 at the Milwaukee Art Museum. Tickets and info are at presentmusic.org.
We're talking about checking your privilege this hour, and that phrase is getting invoked more and more often on college campuses these days. It's part of what some people call a new wave of political correctness. Greg Lukianoff recently wrote a cover story for The Atlantic in which he argued that this new PC culture is leaving college students ill-equipped to deal with the real world and may even be damaging their mental health.
I think sometimes we try to control discussions too much, and I think that's exactly what's happening on campuses. We think that if people from different classes and different backgrounds actually talk to each other, that some kind of disaster would happen. So I think it partially comes from the fact that, you end up having pretty politically homogeneous environments on campus. And even to the degree that they're not, we've created a situation in which, partially through speech policing, we're encouraging people just to talk to the people they already agree with. So I think you see sort of an absurd and exaggerated sort of microcosm of what's happening in our larger society on our campuses, where we've become stuck sort of in our echo chambers and increasingly angry over smaller things, which is problematic in its own right. But what really troubles me is I think it also takes us away from thinking about things that, can actually be fixed or can actually help people who are genuinely suffering from, what might be called macroaggressions. I work on college campuses, and I've been defending free speech on college campuses for 15 years. And, most of that time has been butting heads with administrators. But in the last 2 years, I've been disturbed to see that a lot more of it seems to be coming from students. I'll talk about what case is going on right now at Wesleyan. The student government is considering defunding the student newspaper because they ran an article that was critical of the tactics of the Black Lives Matter movement. Now, this wasn't an inflammatory article, and it would have been perfectly well answered with another op-ed. But instead, this led immediately to not just protests, but a very proud declaration that students were going to start, quote unquote, recycling copies of the student newspaper until their demands were met or until the Argus, the name of the newspaper, was defunded. I've seen different versions of this my entire career, but the thing that made it somewhat different was just the pride with which the students were talking about what amounted to newspaper destruction. One of the reasons why we're seeing such high rates of depression and anxiety is partially just we're reaping what we've sown. We're telling a generation, frankly, you're not competent, you're very fragile. If something bad happens, you'll be damaged forever, you won't bounce back, you'll be broken. And then we're shocked that we have anxious and depressed students. It just simply is always valuable to know what people really think, and especially if it's really bad. And I think that we create this sort of false sense of security to a degree by simply policing speech will somehow be fixing our society when we might not be getting at the roots of the beliefs that we disagree with. But even just beyond that, you're not really going to understand your world all that well unless you know what people really think. And I think with a problem of self-censorship and people organizing just in the groups that they already believe in, we've lost the idea that candor across lines of genuine difference is good, especially when it's messy.
Greg Lukianoff heads the Foundation for Individual Rights in Education, and he's the author of Unlearning Liberty, Campus Censorship and the End of American Debate. You can hear a longer version of his interview on our website at ttbook.org.